Hello, friends, and welcome to this first episode of FAQ, a program dedicated to answering frequently asked questions that arise as we read God's Word together in an increasingly foreign and hostile world. My name is Glenn Smith. I'm a regular listener of the Into the Word podcast, and I'm here with my pastor and the host of our program, Pastor Paul Carter. Pastor Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Glenn. It's good to be here.
So, Pastor, I'm not really sure whether it's because of the Bible readings that we've been doing and the verses that we've been coming across. It seems like there's been a consistent call for being sober, being of sober mind. Yeah. And yet, I'm having trouble squaring that with what is going on in our culture and even legislatively what's gone on in Canada with respect to marijuana.
Yeah, there certainly does seem to be an overlap or a convergence, whether it's providential or just coincidental, I don't know. But we certainly have run across a lot of verses recently in the RMM Bible reading plan that do talk about sobriety, being sober-minded, having our wits about us, and guarding our cognitive processes. We need our wits about us because we live in confusing times.
Okay, well, that brings me to the questions, or actually questions. I have a series of questions for you that many believers in this country have been wrestling with over the last couple of weeks about the Christian and marijuana. So, can a Christian use medical marijuana?
Well, I think the answer to that question would have to be yes, with certain qualifications and stipulations. As with opioids, there is an appropriate and inappropriate way to make use of any particular substance. And that's why I think it's helpful to speak about drug abuse as opposed to just drug use, because medical marijuana is regularly prescribed to people experiencing chronic pain and to people experiencing nausea as a result of chemotherapy and to people battling multiple sclerosis. So if a doctor thinks that a prescribed dosage of medical marijuana would be helpful to a person in treating one of those conditions, then as a pastor, I don't think that I would respond to that as if it were a moral or spiritual issue. Now, of course, I would want to warn anyone about the dangers associated with dependency anytime you begin making use of medications, even legitimate medications. Many people become addicted to medications that are legal and that are justifiable, but unintentionally, they can become a source of addiction and dependence. So I would want to warn a person about that, but the proper medical use of marijuana under the supervision of a doctor, according to prescribed dosages and limits, that is not, in my opinion, a moral or spiritual issue.
All right. Well, then that brings me to question two. Can a Christian smoke pot recreationally now that it's legal in this country to do so?
Well, that's a good question and well worded. I think it is important to understand the difference between what is legal and what is moral. Adultery is legal in this country, but it is not moral. And we could make a long list of things that are legal in this country that are not moral. If we're using the Word of God to define what is moral, that which is pleasing to God and that which accords with His character and His will for our lives. So the fact that it is legal simply means that we have more thinking to do than we used to as people who follow Christ. When marijuana of all sorts was illegal in this country, all we had to do was point to Romans 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Romans 13, 1-2. Bingo bango. If you break the laws of your duly appointed authorities, you have de facto broken God's law and would be subject to judgment. But now that smoking marijuana would not be breaking the law of the land, if you're over 19 years of age and in an approved location, then obviously the question remains, is it moral? Is it righteous? Does it accord with God's will for my life? And I think the answer to that has to be no. The point of smoking pot is to get high. You don't need to smoke pot in order to access the medical benefits. The smoking part is to get high. Smoking pot changes the way you think. It alters perception and affects information processing. There is therefore no way for a Christian to justify smoking pot. The Bible says, and this is one of those verses we've read recently, 1 Thessalonians 5:6. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. Christians are commanded in the Bible to be clear thinking and sober minded. Therefore, anything that affects how we think and anything that alters our perception of reality is by definition immoral, out of bounds. So I think the answer to that question has to be a clear no.
Well, if I may then, why do some Christians think that it's okay to drink alcohol or coffee? If it's wrong to smoke pot, why is it right to do those things?
Well, that's a fair question, and that's a question I hear a lot. But I really don't think this is an apples to apples kind of comparison. No one is saying that all drugs or all chemicals are wrong. My 7-year-old daughter recently had a high fever, and I was super thankful for the drug popularly known as Advil. Praise the Lord for helpful drugs. So it isn't about, you know, chemicals bad or chemicals good. It's really a case of how much and for what purpose. With respect to purpose, coffee and marijuana are complete opposites. Coffee was originally used to sharpen the mind and to aid in concentration and alertness. Okay, well, those are good things, according to the Bible. Again, to quote 1 Thessalonians 5:6, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. That would be a good slogan for a coffee company. Coffee in appropriate doses helps you stay awake, alert, and clear-minded, all of which are good things, according to the Bible. But marijuana is the opposite. Marijuana distorts perception, affects information processing, and that's bad. So this is not an apples to apples comparison. Now, the comparison with alcohol is closer, but here the critical matter has to do with quantity. A small quantity of alcohol is intended to help people relax and is identified in the Bible as a gift from God towards that end. Psalm 104, verses 14 to 15 says that God causes the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. So there the Bible says that God gives good gifts to his people, meat and vegetables to eat, wine to bring joy, oil to make the face shine, bread to give us strength for the day. So from that, I think we would want to argue that used properly and in moderation, alcohol can be received as a gift from God. And we've just said that the same applies to marijuana when it is used medically under the supervision of a doctor. It can be a blessing. It can be good, but it has no legitimate recreational use because of its effect on cognition. Now, alcohol also has that effect, but only when used in large quantities, which is why the Bible permits moderate use and prohibits excessive use. So Galatians 5:19-21, for example, says, now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, placing drunkenness beside orgies actually provides an interesting comparison, because often in the Bible, sin is about too much and it's about in the wrong context. None of us, I don't think, would want to argue that sex is a sin. And we know very well that there's a proper context, a proper use, and we know that there's an improper context and an improper use. So as with sex, so with alcohol. There's a right context, there's a right use, but used improperly in the wrong context, it's very harmful. So I don't think these are apples to apples comparisons when it comes to marijuana and alcohol or marijuana and coffee. Have to dig a little deeper than that. And when we do, I think it's clear that there is no coherent biblical argument for the recreational use of marijuana.
All right. That leads me to my fourth question. Should smoking marijuana be a matter of church discipline?
Well, that's a good question, too. Before I address that specifically, let me say a couple things about church discipline in general. First of all, let's agree that church discipline should be applied to people who stubbornly persist in known and established sin despite having been confronted and corrected by their duly appointed spiritual overseers. So church discipline is not for visitors to the church, and church discipline is not for repentant members of the church. Church discipline is for members who persist in a known sin despite having been taught, lovingly confronted, and courageously corrected by their duly appointed spiritual overseers. Secondly, I think we'd want to say that it is very important when doing church discipline to distinguish between weakness and wickedness. I think there are a number of levers that I would want to try first with a person struggling to wean themselves off of the habitual use of recreational marijuana before I made use of the big guns of formal church discipline. Now, that's not to say that it would never come into play. It's just to say it probably isn't where I would go first. Weaning yourself off of a chemical dependency takes time. It takes patience. I think it takes grace. It takes effort, accountability, prayer. So I would want to lean heavily on all those things before bringing in the lever of formal church discipline. But if a person was defiant, if they were insisting on their right to smoke marijuana and their right to exist in a state of perpetual stupor, and if they refused to listen to the wise and loving counsel of the people exercising spiritual oversight over them, then yes, of course, eventually church discipline would be appropriate, just as would be the case with a person persisting in the abuse of alcohol or persisting in the abuse of an opioid. If a person is committed to intoxication and perpetual stupor, then they are not living the life that God has commanded them to live. They're not living in the light. They're not keeping awake. They're not maintaining sobriety. And so if they persist in that, then eventually they must become subject to the loving application of church discipline.
And for my last or fifth question, I'd like to change tack a little bit and think about our role as salt and light in the world. Given that aspect of our mandate, should Christians actively advocate for the recriminalization of marijuana in this country?
Well, obviously, it depends on how we're advocating. Christians certainly should never try and convert or control by the sword of political power. The goal of Christians is always to persuade. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others." Nevertheless, as you say, Jesus called upon us to function as salt and light within our communities. And the metaphor of salt has usually been understood to speak of our need to function as a preservative in the culture. Part of our job as Christians is to restrain the descent of our culture into lawlessness. And therefore, if we can lend our voices to efforts towards wise and prudent legislation that would preserve and promote healthy living, then obviously I think it would make sense for us to do that. Now, am I saying that churches should leave off the priority of preaching the gospel in order to petition the government to recriminalize marijuana? No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying that if this question is reopened in our society, or if Christians find themselves in other countries or states where this issue is on the table, then by all means, they should exercise whatever freedoms they enjoy to make their voices heard on this important issue. Because it is an important issue. I think it's fair to say even that it is a gospel issue. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Apostle Paul says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." I do think that recreational marijuana use is one of the ways that the devil is trying to blind the minds of unbelievers in our generation and to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. So, whatever we can do to encourage alertness and sobriety in our society, I think we should do it. Now, of course, we want to do it winsomely and respectfully, but I think we should do it because the stakes are very high.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Pastor Paul. That was very helpful. And of course, thank you, friends, for listening to this FAQ episode of Into the Word. If you're interested in additional resources, I'd encourage you to check us out at ca.thegospelcoalition.org. There you'll find a variety of articles and blogs, and you can find this podcast under the podcast tab. You can also locate us on iTunes, and we're also in the process of updating our archive site over at www.intotheword.ca. So please check us out there as well. And we'll hope to see you again real soon, right here, for another episode of Into the Word.